Welcome. I'm Terry Griffith, and I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and this is Bark Radio.
Hey, folks, how y'all doing today? We're going to talk a little bit today about, Terry, about all the things that our dogs can get into in and around our homes. Some of them won't hurt your dogs, but some things around our homes and in our homes can kill them. And we just want to make people aware.
Okay.
Is there anything that comes to mind that you are that you're aware of?
I'm always cautious of antifreeze and stuff because I'm kind of a hobbyist mechanic. So greases, oils, antifreeze, that type of stuff. The dogs don't go in the garage. I mean, they may pass through it, you know, normal day-to-day activities. But if I'm playing around with my Jeep or doing something in there, it's a dog-free zone.
I think it's really smart. Antifreeze draws dogs because of the smell, and then because of the taste. It tastes sweet, apparently.
You haven't tried?
I knew you were going to say that. I walked right into it. No!
Oh, incoming.
I hate when that happens. No, Terry, I haven't tried it myself. Would you like to?
Yeah, got a story around that, but...
Oh, man, never mind. Okay, onward. The problem with antifreeze is, even in small quantities, it can be toxic and can be deadly to your dogs. A teaspoon of it can kill a 7-pound cat.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
Yeah. Scary stuff, man.
It is.
Now, I understand from some research that I've done that there is a safer version of antifreeze. Are you aware of it?
I've seen it. It's harder to find. Supposedly it has the same antifreezing qualities as the toxic stuff. But it's chemically different and not toxic to animals.
It contains, and I...
Yeah, that's...
Can you pronounce it?
Yeah, propylene glycol.
Okay, supposedly that is better than ethylene glycol.
Okay.
Which only means that if your pet ingests a little of it, they probably won't die. So, you know,
still not good.
That's right. Not good at all. So keep the dogs away from the mechanics in your family, out of your garages, anywhere any of this stuff is kept. Try to have, like Terry was saying, like a dog-free zone, pet-free zone. You know how cats are, man. They can get into anything, anywhere.
Yeah.
But keep that stuff that's toxic to animals just locked away. It's just like having a 2-year-old in your house.
Yeah.
Think of it that way, and what you wouldn't leave out for them, don't leave out for your animals.
There you go.
And one of my personal favorites, I get tons of emails and forwarded stuff every spring about cocoa mulch. Have you ever heard of it?
I have, and I know there's a lot of places sell it, and I hear all kinds of bad stuff about it. I've never used it. I'm not a mulchy type person. I like my yard's kind of natural, so I want it dog safe.
Well, yeah, I'm up for that too. I didn't know this stuff existed until I got into dog training, and then I started being queried about it. Apparently, cocoa mulch has been around for a while. Who makes mulch that smells and tastes like chocolate? They're idiots, I swear. But it can kill your dog or your cat. And I have Labrador Retrievers, and I promise you, if one of them met cocoa mulch, they'd have a bunch of it in them before I could even turn around. So, yeah, be really careful, people.
Now, I'm assuming that it has the same chemical properties as, you know, the bean does, so like dark chocolate.
That's
type.
What it's sounding like.
Yeah, and I don't know. But.
And you know, that's just one of many subjects, folks, that we'll look a little more into. I'd actually like to get like the label, the ingredients, that sort of thing, and we can post them at some point.
Yeah, actually, we'll put that up on the website.
Yeah,
good
why
idea.
Not? Yeah. Okay, so again, good weather. All those fertilizers and all that plant food. Now, the all natural thing everywhere I live. My backyard is my dog yard.
Yep.
And I don't care what grows there as long as it's not going to hurt them. So I never use any kind of anything to kill anything back there. Not just fertilizers and stuff, but remember, if you have rodents, if you're trying to get rid of critters, there are poisons for them. Number one, the poisons may kill your dog if your dog ingests the poison. That also may kill your dog if your dog is goofy and ingests a half-dead mouse.
Right.
You know, it's just dangerous stuff.
Rat poison, yeah. I have seen cases where dogs have gotten into the rat poison, they ate it, and...
died.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not good.
No.
And, yeah, I'm the same way. The backyard is just the natural area. It is, you know, I keep it mowed, and that's where it ends.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And as far as rodents, Surrey hunts all the voles we have in the back. So.
Ooh, man, I have a farmer friend who would like to invite her out for the weekend.
That's her hobby.
That's fabulous, man. Have a vole-free yard. Borrow Surrey. Rip Surrey.
Rip Surrey.
Well, this is maybe a good time to mention, since we're talking about good weather and plants and stuff that goes on plants. Terry, you were telling me something about, you had just read about a fabulous plant.
Right. And I want to caveat this for the listeners. We have not done enough research on this. I just read the article, and it's a plant called Beautyberry. And this was in Mother Earth News, which is a great magazine for all you natural geeks like me. but apparently the leaves are a natural deterrent to biting insects. So it works with fire ants, it works with ticks, it may work with fleas. The idea is they don't like the leaves. So you take the leaves that fall off the plant and you spread them around your yard, and it naturally keeps them out of your yard. Now, I don't know that it's safe for dogs one way or another. I have not tested this. I do know that the farmers use this, or used to use this, in the mule harnesses. They would tuck the leaves under the harness to keep the ticks from getting under there and burying in.
Wow.
So I got to believe it's somewhat safe.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But we'll do more research. We'll definitely post that to the to our webpage, because it's not, you know, we've had situations where we've had to use chemicals for ticks, and
absolutely,
I don't like to.
Right.
But occasionally you don't have a choice. We had one bad infestation in the backyard, and we had to spray. There was no way around it.
Otherwise, everybody in the house was going to be wearing the stupid things.
Exactly.
Well, we'll let you know more about that, you guys. And as we go episode to episode, anything that we hear about that is anywhere in the realm of holistic, we will share with you, because both of us, I think, are all over anything natural for our dogs.
Just keep it chemical-free if you can.
Next on our list is chocolate. I think probably, hopefully, everybody knows at this point that chocolate can kill your dog. They shouldn't be eating your Hershey bars. My sense is that, like with many poisons, the response can be worse for elderly dogs, dogs with suppressed immune systems. I think that's kind of across the board. Things are going to hurt them quicker. I used to toss my dogs an M&M out every now and again. Well, I've even stopped that. It never hurt them. But, you know, I'm not going to take the chance. Somebody says it out loud, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. The dog doesn't need the chocolate.
No.
And I do agree. I think it depends on the health of the dog and the age of the dog. But why risk it?
That's right. Yeah. We're all about why risk it. Okay, for those of you who live in climates where you get a lot of snow and or ice, and you need products to melt that ice, de-icing salt, just for starters, can be a real irritant to a dog's paws. And guess what? They come in, they have that on their paws, they're going to lick their paws to get it off, and it can be poisonous.
Yeah.
So there are lots of options. There are dog-safe ice melters that I've used. You can also use cat litter. But just be really aware of that, and do maybe wash and dry your dog's paws if you think they've walked over anything where there might have been the de-icer that might be bad for them.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the safe de-icer. I'm interested in that. We'll do some, we'll do some more research on that and post up a link, because I always just use basically rock salt.
Okay.
Or kitty litter. Mm-hmm. And that type of stuff. But if there's something else out there.
Yeah, I found it a few years back at a local hardware store. So, yeah, we'll look more into that.
All right.
All righty. Oh, we're back outside again. Insect control products. One of the things that I wasn't aware of until very recently, I think because I had no reason to be aware of it, you see all kinds of flick and tease.
It's a spring day, you're distracted. Flicking teeth.
Okay, one more time. There are all kinds of flea and tick remedies out there. The cheaper ones are over the counter. You can get them at the big box stores. You may be able to get them at Walmart in the pet section, that sort of thing. But what I have read very recently is some of them are toxic. So what you need to do in this case is before you use a product to prevent insects getting on your dogs, talk to your vet. And if you can't afford the stuff that he has in his office, maybe he will be able to tell you what kind of is safe over the counter. So bottom line, you don't want these critters on your dogs. They're going to get on you eventually if they're there long enough. They just make more and they're nasty.
Yeah.
And they carry all sorts of diseases.
Yeah.
And we will also, a future episode, we're going to talk a lot about airborne diseases in dogs. It's so much more than Lyme disease. I've known over time dogs who work outside, like search and rescue dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a shepherd once who was on antibiotics for a full year to get rid of the nasty disease that he'd gotten from either a mosquito or a tick. It was horrible. So just, folks, try to use preventative for fleas and ticks. And, mosquitoes, don't leave standing water around. We all know that drill. You don't want mosquitoes biting your dogs.
That's an easy fix, too, you know. Make sure the containers aren't holding the water. Empty them out after rainfall if there is something that catches it. Piece of cake.
So, next one, Terry.
Oh, the human medications.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one I'm always really careful of. Whenever I get anything out of the cupboard, I end up with making sure that doesn't fall out of my hand. You know, I don't know what medications necessarily are poisonous, but I just try to make sure that none of it hits the ground. And if it hits the ground, I take time and I find it. So, including vitamins, because I don't know how certain or large amounts of vitamins might impact the dog.
Right.
Some of the ones I think I am aware of is like ibuprofen, aspirin, those types of painkillers
are probably not good for your dog.
Right, unless your vet recommends it under certain situations.
Right.
Because I know that we've used, for allergic reactions, we've used over-the-counter, like, Sudafed-type stuff, right? And the vet said, under certain situations, bee stings and things where there's swelling, that works great.
And I use Benadryl.
Benadryl, yeah.
Right.
That type of stuff. That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Right. A little pink and white caplet, guys. That's what, when I was in Wilderness Search and Rescue, because my lab was very allergic to insect stings, bee stings, I always had it in my backpack. Always had Benadryl. But never give your dog, first of all, anything that is a human med without asking your vet. For one thing, that stuff changes. That information changes regularly. What may have seemed okay last year or been okay last year, maybe they changed what's in that medication and it's no longer okay for your dog. So the bottom line, always call your vet and ask.
Right. We had, with Suri, when she was a puppy, she had this fetish with bees and she would eat them. And so she had been stung many times on the inside of her mouth. And we had a heck of a time breaking it, but the vet had, obviously knew her. And so it got to the point when her face would start to swell, we'd call the vet, say, hey, got another bee sting. He'd say, give her one, two pills, depending on how much swelling it is, et cetera, et cetera. But he knew the dog.
Right.
And that's the key thing. Not only knowing what's in it, know the dog. You can't just take a wild guess with this because you might over-medicate, and that's not good either.
Absolutely, and I have a story like that. I've had two female yellow labs, one long gone, one still with me. For whatever reason, both dogs were extremely allergic to bee stings. Here's what I saw the very first time my Maggie was stung by a bee. She was another dog who liked to eat bugs. One day, she's out in the backyard. I look at her and I'm like, something is drastically amiss here. She looked like the Elephant Man. The whole side of her face was swollen. Everything was sagging down to her shoulders.
Jeez.
It was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. I threw that dog in the car and was to the vet in 10 minutes. She was allergic to bee stings. And in her case, it was, some kind of prescription stuff that he just, gave her with an injection to get it to start coming down because it was going to go for her windpipe.
Yeah.
That could have killed her.
Absolutely.
So be aware of this stuff, you guys. And Cody, my current dog, she's not quite as severely allergic to bee stings, but a little bit. So actually in that same backpack, not only did I have Benadryl, but I had prescription meds, oral ones, from the vet. Because if I was in the middle of a wilderness area and it was going to take me 45 minutes to walk out, I needed something I could give her right then.
Right.
So you know your dog. Yeah. Know your dog. And just be really wary. When we teach obedience classes or when I do one-on-one obedience with people, one of the most important behaviors that you can teach your dog is a really good leave it. Leave it means if it's not in your mouth, don't put it in your mouth. And it can literally save your dog's life. One real quick one on that. A fellow had been working with his young dog, don't remember the breed, maybe six-month-old dog, working for several weeks on a really, really good leave it command. And they were out for a walk one day. Dog was on leash. The dog's head went to pick something up. He couldn't see what it was. He said, leave it. The dog came back to him, left it alone. When he went over to look to see what it was a fishing lure with a treble hook.
Oh, my God.
That, do you know how that would have messed up that dog's mouth?
Oh, that would have been a nightmare. That poor dog.
So, obedience training, leave it. How important.
And it's so simple.
It is.
It really doesn't take long. The dogs pick that up very quickly.
Piece
and,
of cake.
And it should be a standard training issue.
It should be mandatory for every dog on the planet.
Along with sit.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah, sit's a good one. If they're sitting, they can't get into a whole lot of trouble.
Exactly.
Okay, what's next?
What about food? I know some things like chicken bones aren't good for dogs, and other beef bones are okay for them to chew, or my understanding of that is, but it depends on the hardness of the bone and that type of stuff.
Depends on the dog.
Oh, good point.
It depends. Because, yeah, believe it or not, I have had two male Labrador retrievers who, if they ingested bone of any kind, I don't care how soft it was, I was going to have a dog not feeling well for several days. They would have diarrhea. They would throw up. Very sensitive stomachs. So they're not wolves. And, again, know your own dog. Obviously, tell us the story about Surrey and the ribs.
That was Sparky.
I'm sorry,
Surrey was a good girl. Sparky got into some trouble. We had went out to dinner recently, and we have in the back of our Jeep, we have a bag, big heavy canvas bag, and we put food in there before leftovers, and they stay out of it. And we had to make a stop at an office supply store. Weren't in there 10 minutes, and we had put a half rack of ribs and a chicken breast inside of this bag and covered it over with some other stuff we had in the back. In that 10 minutes time, Sparky had moved everything off, tore a hole in this heavy canvas bag, ate the entire half rack of ribs and the chicken breast, and was laying there with his face completely covered in this spicy barbecue sauce, happy as heck, just to be back there. Unbelievable. 10 minutes. The fast, and bones and all. It was just gone.
Well, the number one, the dog did not get sick, which blows my flippin' mind.
We were watching him during the night. We were watching him the following day. You know, normal stool. Everything was fine. Didn't care. Happy Jack, man. That was the best meal he'd had in a long time.
Cast iron tummy on that little dog. How much does he weigh? 35?
About 50 pounds.
Oh, does he weigh 50?
Yeah,
okay.
About 50 pounds.
He's a little stocky guy. Okay. In the dog training world, you guys, that's called self-rewarding behavior. I promise you, you can never put anything in the back of your Jeep that even remotely resembles food, because he knows the drill now.
Yeah. Well, he knows how to get it. Yeah, well, bag's destroyed anyway.
But party time!
Unbelievable. I was amazed, because we've done that many times, and neither dog had ever bothered it. We told him, no, leave it.
And guys, just remember that with your dogs, they can exhibit the exact same behavior for years. And one day, it'll just be a different day for them. And they'll go, oh, gee, that sounds too good to pass up. Or smells too good to pass up. All right, Terry, what's next?
Well, there's some other foods that I'm aware of. So things like alcoholic beverages. And I think we've all seen or know people that have given their dogs beer. And I may have given a sip or two at one time or another to a dog. Not often, but never a lot. It's always been just a lick the bottle type thing. But I didn't realize it. At that point, I didn't realize it was a problem.
Well, and again, a lot of this stuff may not be a problem for every dog.
Right.
Am I going to take the chance with mine? No. And the only experience I have with this, Maxie, that beloved dog of mine, I got him under sort of unusual circumstances. There's an organization called Ducks Unlimited. And they, among other things, preserve wetlands. But they're all over Labrador Retrievers and, bird dogs and all. They have banquets every year. at a banquet that I went to years ago in Pennsylvania, one of the things that you could bid on was a chocolate lab puppy. Well, I had no intentions of getting another dog. I was married at the time. We had three labs. I took one look at that puppy face and I went, bud, you are going home with me. I don't care how much I have to bid for you. That's it, period, period. That's how you get sucked in, people. So anyhow, Max went home with me. The next day, he was throwing up. He had diarrhea. He couldn't keep water on his stomach. I'm thinking, Parvo, what is going on with this puppy? Rush him to the vet. He had to stay overnight with IV fluids in him. This was an 8-week-old puppy. Jeez. Never knew what happened. He had to stay there a couple of days. And then he came and slept in my bed with me so we could bond. And so I could tell him how sorry I was that he had a tummy ache. Fast forward 1 year. We go back to the banquet again this year, and I hear people over in the corner talking about the puppy last year that they'd given beer to. And I'm like, I'm going to kill these mothers. These are the people who made my dog deathly ill by giving an 8-week-old freaking puppy beer?
Wow.
You can't fix stupid, right,
Terry?
Yeah,
you can't fix stupid. I say that a lot, and you know, I sincerely believe it. There's just some things that...
So don't give alcoholic beverages to your damn dogs.
Good. I'll make a note. you know, other things are like coffee grounds, I know, are bad for him. And, well, Sparky doesn't necessarily mess with the coffee grounds. He likes to stick his nose in my coffee cup.
Because he can.
Because he can, yeah. But I don't, I mean, there's probably other things as well. I think that the point being that there's just a number of things, and I'm sure there's a list out there somewhere we can find, to talk about different types of, you know, seasonings, plants, whatever, all those types of things.
One quick one as we go on to the next item. Salt is not good for dogs. So if you are putting, like, peanut butter in a Kong for your dog, get the salt-free version. Okay, next on the agenda. Poisonous household plants. Oh, grief.
Oh, yeah.
That needs to be a more thorough list than we have today. But lots of things.
Yeah, and actually, I have a really good list. When our website's up, I'll make sure that gets planted. Or planted. Wow. I'll make sure it gets posted. Hello. I'll get that posted. But, I mean, some of the basic ones are azaleas, geraniums.
Diefenbachia.
Yeah, lilies, mistletoe.
Philodendron. A lot of people have that.
Oh, yeah.
So we will get a bigger, better list up, but just be aware that if you've got live house plants, be careful what your dog's chewing on. If you see green leaves coming out of that dog's mouth, you make sure what those green leaves came off of.
Right, right. Now, you were telling me something earlier about rawhides, and I had never heard this, so this is pretty interesting stuff.
Well, rawhide bones can be a danger for a number of reasons, including how they're manufactured. And probably where they're manufactured. So they can have salmonella poisoning in them. Just think about some of the recalls in the recent past.
Like the gluten.
Right,
there was
exactly.
A gluten recall that many animals died or got sick from
right.
that.
So there's that possible hazard with rawhide bones. I have heard from dog professionals that I've talked to that some rawhide chews can have formaldehyde in them, depending on where in this world they are made. So
that just amazes me. That I had never, ever thought about that even being an issue. I mean, that's insane.
So just think about when you look at the packaging of a product, where is it physically made? And remember that their truth in advertising? Oh, yeah, right. If you see a package that has an American flag on it, the parent company may be here. But you find on that package to find out where that stuff is made.
Right, and I'll take the risk with this one. I'm gonna pull my soapbox out because the gluten stuff happened from gluten that was purchased in China, and I'm that frankly when that happened I was appalled and pissed off, and so I think what Dee's trying to be polite about is that these rawhides are coming from China and they're gonna be the cheapest brand that's out there.
And they're going to be crap.
They're going to be crap. You don't know what's on them. Well, and there's... Dee's having a stroke or something over there. I'm not sure which. The thing is there are companies in the U.S. and in Canada And there's very similar standards for these types of products that are going to be safer. Now, you still have the choking hazard, right. But at least they're not putting formaldehyde on rawhide.
They're not putting poison in them.
Yeah, you're not poisoning the dogs. And so we'll look for that. We're actually going to collect a list of companies that produce quality rawhides that can be safer for your animal.
Yeah, this one just torques me because I don't know why we as consumers, because it's something is on a shelf, in packaging, assume it's safe. Well, you know what, folks? It ain't necessarily so.
Yeah.
So start being an informed consumer, and we're going to help you be that as much as we can. The choking thing with rawhide chews, just remember, be in the room with your dog if you give them a rawhide. Again, Labrador Retrievers, they're chow hounds. They don't go about eating anything gently. Mr. Max, again, when he was alive, oy vey, he's right next to me, laying on the floor, enjoying a rawhide bone, and the next thing I hear are choking sounds. Fortunately, I was able to reach into that big jaw, big mouth, down his throat, and pulled it out, because he was choking on it. Reason? Big dog gets a big piece off of the rawhide bone. Now it's nasty, slimy, gross, and instead of continuing to chew it, they try to swallow it.
Yeah. We have to watch Sparky. He does the same thing, and there's a couple of times that we've had to help him.
Intervene a bit?
Yeah,
yes.
Intervene. Okay. You gotta take human bites.
Yeah, right. The dog looks at you like, what?
Yeah.
You take dog bites. Come on, man. Okay, then just a bunch of little things. Be aware what your dog has access to in your house. Stupid little things like string and rubber bands. You know, if they ingest them, they can get blockages in their tummies, in their intestinal tract. There are so many ways dogs can get in trouble. So dog-proof, puppy-proof your house as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, that we have Surrey has a problem with eating her toys.
And so, it's that prey drive, Terry.
It is some of that. But so we have to really watch her. Sparky does a little bit of it, but Surrey's always been worse. Getting better as she gets older,
mm-hmm.
getting away from that. But yeah, we definitely always watching her go to the bathroom, and you could see, you know, toy parts go in, toy parts come out. But yeah,
God love them.
It's yeah, a lot of work to keep watching your dog and.
Right.
Poop.
Yeah, I did that a bit that this last week because my beloved Murphy, oh man, we went to an Audi last weekend and something he had upset his little tummy and he had diarrhea starting on Sunday. Well, let's see. We had a number of things we had to do this week where he was the star of the show. My demo dog.
Did you put diapers on him?
No, I did not. But I will tell you, he had no normal, quote unquote, potty breaks. He went out on leash with me on the other end of it. And if it was dark, I went out with a flashlight aimed at his butt. So, you know, you just do what you gotta do.
No dignity. No
None.
Dignity.
And they look at you like, excuse me?
Hello.
Get a little privacy here? Anyway, so yeah. And he, Murph, by the way, also loves to shred plush toys and get that squeaker out.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, with him, he doesn't ingest. He rips the toy apart, gets that squeaker out, drops it all, and walks away. It's like, my job here is done. Again, prey drive. I killed it, Mom. Aren't I a good boy?
Put this little squeaky heart right out.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I just grossed out our listeners. Sorry about that.
Honey, it's your job. Okay, so we've talked about lots and lots of things that can hurt your dogs. Just one key piece of information. If there is an emergency 24-hour vet in your area, have that phone number on your refrigerator. Just do it. Because when your dog becomes violently ill, you're not going to need to go digging for a phone number you don't have.
Right. And in the small towns, they may not have the 24-hour vets, but many of the local vets will give you an emergency number that they can be reached at, or they'll page them. So the key is getting there fast.
Absolutely. If something's going on with your dog that's not normal, you know your dog better than anybody else. Make the phone call.
Right.
It can save their lives.
Right. All right. Is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
All right. That's it for this episode of Bark Radio. We will catch you a little bit later. Thanks, folks.